Just a reminder, I love you. Appreciate you. It's great to gather around the table, and it is great to remember our Lord and Savior. The title of our lesson this morning is Jesus Cried Out. And I got a couple things to think of. First off, Jesus is not a crybaby. Okay? Second off, Jesus had an outside voice. So for those of you that know that I have an outside voice, it's talked about at work quite a bit, I have an outside voice. And sometimes I don't recognize I'm inside. So that's one character trait that, you know, I have and Jesus has. I hope I have a whole bunch of them. But we're going to look at some passages this morning in our lesson that Jesus cried out. So when you think about him crying out, what do you think that means? You think he just said, listen here, I got a little something to tell you. Come here, man. Come here and time out. I got a little something to tell you. No. At least not in my perspective. And we're also going to look at a couple of other instances where other people in the Bible cried out to Jesus. In our lesson text this morning, it says, and Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. Now, people in the world don't want to listen to Jesus. They want to stereotype him as a do and don't, and you're just wrecking all my fun, Jesus. And Jesus tells the world this, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. So when you think of Jesus, do you think of him as being a light in your life? Okay? How many of us turn that light switch on when we get up in the morning? Not very many of us anymore. Maybe Brother Bill, because he's a farmer, he may get up before sunlight. Okay, break of dawn. Brother Phil, maybe. You know, I don't know who else has that type of, you know, those that work different hours or off hours. You know, you turn that light switch on when you get up, see what's going on. I normally do that during daylight savings time in the wintertime, but now, a lot of times I get up and just, you know, sun's already up. What about that? Jesus says, I came as a light to the world. Do we turn that light switch on for Jesus in our lives when we get up each and every day? Do we look to him as guidance? Or do we just, I'm going to walk around in the dark. Oh. How many of us stumble our toes spiritually in the last week or two? How many of us are planning to stumble this coming week in our lives? No, none of us want to do that. Right now, Sister Barbara only has a boo-boo on her finger. She doesn't have anything wrong with her feet at this time. Now, I do a little bit. I gimping around last night. Had an ache in my toe last night. It's kept me up. I had to get up and eat some Captain Crunch to go back to sleep. Thank you for leaving me a little bit of Captain Crunch, Miss Allie. Appreciate that. But no, I don't plan on stumbling this week either. But the best way that I can make sure I don't do that, and whatever Satan tempts me with this week, is to rely on Jesus of being my light. Being guided by him. Okay? How many of us tried driving down the road with no headlights on the car? Get away from the police. Nobody? Just me? Just kidding. I've never tried to outrun the police. Okay, you can't outrun Motorola. My dad told me that. My dad was a police officer for about 10 years. Can't outrun Motorola. That means the radios. You can't outrun the radios, okay? But there's times in the country when you're driving down the road in cornfields and you didn't want to stop at a stop sign or stop, you know, or slow down or anything. Just turn your lights off for a minute. Make sure nobody's coming the other way. Turn back on legally. Kind of like figure eight racing. You ever seen them guys at figure eight racing? I got a good friend I worked with and met down at Roche, and he's a world champion figure eight racer. And I watch him on video every week after he's raced. I'm like, man, that's crazy. That's crazy. But it's just like that. What kind of light are you going to use in your life? You going to turn Jesus off when it's a little bit uncomfortable? When something somebody shows you, or something you pull up on an electronic device, how's your light going to shine? You going to eliminate it? You going to block it? You going to leave it there to remind you? Plead with you this week to follow Jesus. He cried out specifically to say, use me as that light in your life. I'm here. I'm ever ready. I know exactly what you went through. I came down here and spent time to let you know I know exactly what you're going through. Exactly what you're going through. He doesn't want us to abide in darkness. And folks, if we don't look for Jesus as a light, we don't turn that light switch on, basically that's what we're doing in our lives. And it's okay to wander around in the dark. It's okay to wander around in the dark. Let me even mention this. How can you plead with people to come follow Jesus in the light? It's a great place to be, and you haven't turned the switch on. You're wandering around in the dark yourself. We've got to make sure, folks, that we're walking by faith and relying on Jesus, our Savior, and the things we've done. In Matthew chapter 20, Jesus, it is written, now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him, and behold, two blind men sitting by the road. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Then the multitude warned him that they should be quiet, but they cried out all the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. So Jesus stood still and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be open. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. And they followed him. I use this as a parallel this morning, folks. How many times in our lives are we blind about things going on around us? How many times do we make a mistake? Do we lose our temper? Do we think something we shouldn't think? We see something we shouldn't see. And we need to cry out to Jesus and say, have mercy on me. I need your forgiveness. I am your child. I won't continue in that sinful thought, that sinful arena, that sinful activity. And yes, we are children of the Most High God, folks, but guess what? As we read the New Testament, those Christians, almost all of them were Christians, and it was all sin they were dealing with in their lives. And we need to be aware of that. We need to encourage each other to make good choices. Right, Easton? Good choices. Good choices. But to plead, when's the last time you pleaded, folks, for Jesus to have mercy on you? I'm sorry I did that. One step further, when's the last time you asked your spouse to have mercy on you? I'm sorry I said that. I'm sorry I did that. I'm sorry I didn't do that. It's part of the humility of following Christ. It's part of being obedient. It's part of crying out with our hearts and following Jesus. Because Jesus is standing there just now, this morning. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? What have you asked him this morning? Have you talked to Jesus this morning in your life? And if not, I plead with you to start that habit. Two blind people cried out to him, talked to him, asked for his help. Jesus says, what do you want me to do? I'm right here. He stopped, had compassion on them. Jesus is willing and able to stop and have compassion on us and help us in whatever we need him. He's not too busy for us. We're not unimportant. Satan wants us to think we're just a fly on the wall, okay? Just a bump on the log. We're just going through life, you know, I hope I make it to heaven. I hope I make it through this day without, you know, Jesus is standing right there saying, come on, man. ESPN didn't come up with that. Jesus did, since the beginning of time. Been pleading with man. Come on, man. Come on, Jews. Look at all I've done for you. Come on, Christians. Look at all I've done for you. You've got it better than anybody else in the history of the world. 2017. Sins are forgiven. Checks are cashing. You experienced things kings only dreamed of years ago. And we're living in that. And he still says, what do you want me to do for you? I've given you all these things. Salvation. Blessings and favor. He pleads with us. He cries out to us to lean on him. And continue to make him our Lord and Savior. Matthew 27, it is written, now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there when they heard that said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the temple, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth quaked, and rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And come out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake, and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee ministered to him. Were there looking on afar off, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Jesus cried out with a loud voice at two most important times in history of the mankind. He cried out to God saying, I need your help. I miss you. I need your help. And he cried out, gave up his spirit. Folks, when do we cry out to God and say, I miss you, I need you in my life? We need to make sure we're not self-sufficient. Our sufficiency should be in Christ, as it is written. Our fulfillment should be in Christ, as it is written. We should be crying out with a loud voice, saying, thank you, Father in heaven, for helping me this day. Help me, Father in heaven, recognize temptation. Okay? You know, it's Jesus mentioned the model prayer, didn't he? And at the end of the prayer, Jesus said what? Part of the prayer. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. I ask us this morning, and I'll let you know in my daily prayers, that's in my daily prayers. But I ask you, brothers and sisters in Christ, do you pray not to be led into temptation? Do you pray daily to be delivered from the evil one? Thank you, Brother DC, for praying for those that aren't here. We need to keep them in our prayers because we care about them and we love them. But Satan has a hold on some people's hearts that we love dearly, and they're not here because of it. We need to make sure we don't fall into that same trap, folks, for whatever it is. The neat thing about this passage is even though Jesus cried out to God, God will never forsake us. In the whole New Testament, God never forsakes any of the saints. Even in the Old Testament, I dare say, God doesn't forsake anybody then. What happens is, people through history of time have forsaken God. This is the only instance we know of where God snapped. And it was because of sin. Jesus cried out because of sin. That's how important it is for us, folks, to say no to sin and to recognize sin. And remember how ugly it is, because at this point in time of history of the world, Jesus cried out with a loud voice and said, "Why, God?" As hard as it was to take our sins away, as precious as it was for him to take our sins away, only he could do that. Only he could do that. Mark chapter 5, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And he had come out of the boat. Immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, day and night, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out, cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountain, so all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us into the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. As you can see, it's 1 through 28, so we have another part of this passage to look at this morning. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and he worshiped him and he cried out with a loud voice. This is a demon-possessed person. How much more should Christians run to Jesus and worship him and think about him and see him from afar off? Man, it's a sunny day. Man, I didn't get enough done on that list I need to get done. Man, such and such is playing today. Man, I got an invite to do this today. All kinds of things and reasons that pull at our hearts not to run to Jesus, not to cry out to him. Calls him the Son of the Most High God. "Don't torment me." Why would Jesus torment him? Huh? That's a trick of Satan, right? How come you're making me feel bad for not going to worship? What's the longest we normally wait? There's a few of us in here that are kind of old and stubborn and don't go to the doctor until probably after we're already starting to get better. Okay? But how many of us run to the doctor the minute we don't feel good? A lot of us. Okay? Some of us pertain to our insurance. Some of us because, you know, we rely on that doctor. How many of us in here have more than one doctor? We run to that physician pretty quick. We plan to go see the doctor. We have to schedule appointments to go see the doctor. We wait, see what the doctor's going to say. The creator of us, do we plan to see him? Do we run to him? Do we wait to see what he's going to say in our lives? Is Christ preeminent, as the scripture says, in our life? Is Jesus first? Do you cry out to him first when you need help in his life? Or is he the second, third, fourth option? And that sounds harsh, folks, but it's true. Satan wants Jesus to be our last option. We need to want Jesus to be our first option. First option in all things. Continuing with this passage. So those who fed the swine, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. They were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. And they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but he said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. That's what happens when people come to Jesus. Your mind gets right. Problem is, a lot of people don't want a right mind. Okay? We can read the history of God's people, the history of the world right here. And there's a lot of people just says, "No thanks. I don't want to have a right mind. I don't want to follow you, Creator. I don't want to follow you, God of love, God of truth, God of the way. Not for me." But this person has all that evil removed from him and is in his right mind. Folks, when we remove sin from our lives, that's when we're in our right mind. That's when the Holy Spirit and God's Word is working on our hearts. It's tough when you're struggling with sin, isn't it? Satan wants to tempt us. He will until we're home in heaven. But to recognize that. And then he says, "You know what? Jesus, I know who you are. I know what you've done in my life. I'm going to follow you. I'm just going to hang out. Where are we going, Jesus? Where are we going today?" And Jesus says, "Hey, I got something for you to do. Go tell your friends how great I am. Go tell your friends how much I love you and love them. Go tell your friends how much I mean in your lives. Just tell your friends and family about me." Guess what? Does that apply today, folks, in our lives? Certainly it does. You know what? Lucas and I want to tell each other all the time about who won the race last night. We look up on it, we find out who won the USAC, who won the World Outlaws, who won the local tracks, who won in All-Stars, who won in California, who won in Australia. We also need to be talking about who is it Bible class today? Who is it worship today? What a difference. You know, I can't even remember who sang that song. What a difference, that's Ronnie Millsap. What a difference you've made in my life. That's what Jesus is asking us to do, to share it with the world, with those we come in contact with. What a difference he's made in my life. I tell you this morning, I would be a mess if it wasn't for Jesus. I already am a mess, but I'm a better mess, okay? I see some of your looks on you. I'm just kidding. But at least we're honest. Go home and tell your friends. Go home and tell them how good I am. Go home and tell them I love you. I'm not here to beat you, demeanor you, chastise you. I love you. Folks, there's going to be some people that come in contact with Jesus. They don't want nothing to do with him. Not for me. We need to recognize and shake the dust off our feet and go on and find somebody. Because I guarantee you, the fields are ready for harvest. Somebody out there needs to know about Jesus. And God has a plan for us to help them. We need to be crying out for those opportunities. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness all over the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And I read this again. And then Jesus cried out with a loud voice, and he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing it had been done, beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. I know this is Luke's version of what we had already read in previous parts of God's word, but Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Folks, have you cried out to Jesus and said, I open my heart. Please let your word work on my heart. It took me many years being a Christian to open up to that. I want to do it my way. I want to do it my way. I want to do it my way. My way or the highway, right? But it's Jesus' way. Jesus' way is the road that leads to heaven. John chapter 7, Jesus cried out, you both know me and you know where I am from. And Jesus stood and cried out in John chapter 7, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I won't read the passage because of time this morning, but folks, Jesus still cries out to us through his holy word. Jesus cried out, I have come as a light in the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Jesus replied to the blind people that cried out, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus, as the man with many demons cried out, Jesus said, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Jesus said, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. As an example, Jesus said that on the cross, the same example for us. Have you told God, your heart is open to him, and you commit your spirit to him. You both know me, and you know where I am from. And if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. If there's any reason this morning that you are thirsting, Jesus says, I am here. I am here, come to me and drink. Follow me. Plead with anybody this morning if they have a need on their heart, either to become a Christian, have your sins washed away, being baptized into Christ. If you need to cry out to God, make things right with him wherever you're at. We plead with you to do that, just as you are, as we sing Selected Hymn this morning.